Shalom. Do we obey Yahweh? Is it a great sacrifice? Or is it love? Is it just out of our heart and not really sacrificial at all? Well, we're going to go to Hosea, first of all. And we know that John the Baptist made that comment about that we were to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And we will be reading that actual verse. But first of all, let's look through the find the book of Hosea here, Hosea, and in that we find Messiah's name, Yahusha. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. There is our theme, repentance. And the Hebrew word, nokum, meaning ruefulness, R-U-E-F-U-L-N-E-S-S, ruefulness, being sorry and turning back. Yahweh won't turn back from his plans to redeem us from death, even though death is what we deserve, but he won't change his mind. Unless, of course, we don't meet his condition of love. If we're going to reject his sovereign will, if we're going to reject the covenant and not recognize him as our authority and the authority of in his authority and the scriptures, then, of course, we wouldn't be interested in the first place on dwelling with Yahweh for eternity. But that, however, is not the case. For the gifts and calling of Yahweh are without repentance. Let's look here at Romans for a moment here. In the New Testament, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of Yahweh, or Yahweh, are without repentance. In other words, they are irrevocable. Yahweh doesn't uncall anyone. Well, that's the opinion as we're reading this story. And this study, actually, from GiveShare.org, written by Richard Nichols, the Bible study, study number 56. This goes way back into the 80s and 90s, distributed by GiveShare.org. Hosea, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. So let's look at that then. In John's baptism of repentance, we hear in Luke 3 and Matthew chapter 3. And to be acceptable, we must bring forth fruits fit or worthy for repentance. There must be tangible evidence of our repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. The root word implies a change in mind. A change in mind or a change in thinking. Compare that with metamorphosis, which means a change of form. Repentance means a complete change of mind and heart away from sin and self and toward Yahweh and being Kodesh, being separate, being pure. So, here in Matthew, Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, could not see the change of mind of the Pharisees and Sadducees at that particular point. And before he would immerse them, he insisted on tangible evidence of their change of mind. And John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So also be looking there in the book of Acts 13. So first of all, here's Matthew chapter 3 now, verse 6. And they were baptized of him, John, in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now, the reason I want to emphasize that is sometimes it just seems that we don't see any fruits. Matthew 3:9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with a Ruach HaKadosh and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then in Acts, and by the way, I do read from the King James Version. Occasionally I read from the Tree of Life Version. So here it is now, if you've turned there to Acts 13:21. And afterward they desired a king, and Yahweh gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, the father had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed has Yahweh, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Mashiach. So of this man's seed, of David's seed, has Yahweh, according to his promise, he raised unto Israel a Savior, Yahusha, or Messiah, or Mashiach, when Yochanan or John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel before Messiah's coming. And as Yochanan or John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom do you think that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loosen. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. So prophecy is fulfilled when they derided the very Son of Yahweh. And as we go to Matthew, we go over to Matthew chapter 9 now, back to Matthew. Why did Messiah live, die, and be resurrected? Or why was he resurrected? For our salvation, for our eternal life. So here it is in Matthew 9, Matthew 9:13. Messiah is speaking, and go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When Messiah heard, he said unto them, They are whole. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So there it is in Matthew 9. And, I was reading from Mark 2:17 at that point. When I said Messiah heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And I came to call the righteous, but sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I think that, in fact, I'm sure that the church, the trend is to use this catchphrase or this worn-out phrase that we're all sinners, we're just sinners saved, but a sinner is someone who makes a practice of transgressing the law of Yahweh, and we are not of they who make a practice of that. We continually repent, even at the Feast of Passover. We thoroughly examine our conscience and help one another as well in this. So they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And Messiah came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then over here in Luke, the book of Luke 15:10, Messiah speaking, and he, Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the messengers of Yahweh over one sinner that repenteth, that repents, or it says repenteth. There is joy in the presence of the messengers of Yahweh when we repent. How do we do that? Well, we pray about it. And the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, is the one assisting in overcoming our carnal nature. And as John said, that he will thoroughly clean his threshing floor. That not only means those who are errant and rebellious, and that he'll clean them completely away from his presence, but it also means in us that he'll clean away our transgressions and bring us to a right standing, to a righteousness, not a pseudo-righteousness, but a spirit-wrought righteousness in Messiah. So, over here to Luke now, to 24, where Messiah is speaking in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So that is the purpose of Messiah's death and resurrection here. And the key words there, if I could extract that out, repentance and remission of sins. And then I think it's somewhere near the beginning of this podcast that we are to flee from the wrath to come, but at the same time we need to bring forth fruit meet for repentance, or worthy of repentance, and that Messiah is going to say some really profound, some really wonderful things here in these passages. But I would like to take you now on this journey through the book of Acts, chapter 5 now. And it says, the Elohim of our fathers raised up Messiah, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him has Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and is also the Ruach HaKadosh, whom Yahweh has given to them that obey him. So that's the section on the baptism of repentance. And also answer to the question, why Messiah lived, died, and was resurrected for our salvation. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Repentance now is a gift from Yahweh. So that's under the heading, repentance is a gift, in Acts chapter 11, as we try to move through consecutively in the scriptures to chapter 11 now. Then remembered I the word of Yahweh. Paul is speaking here. Then I remember the word of Yahweh, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Ruach HaKadosh. For as much then as Yahweh gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Master Yahusha HaMashiach, believed on the Savior, what was I that I could withstand Yahweh? Paul asks. What was I that I could withstand Yahweh? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Yahweh, saying, then has Yahweh also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And then over here in Romans, in the book of Romans, so we know that Messiah came to call sinners to repentance now, that he died and rose, that repentance, remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations. And that Yahweh grants repentance, which leads to life. The goodness of Yahweh leads us to repentance. Now here we are, Romans chapter 2. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yahweh leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and a revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for honor and esteem and immortality, thus eternal life. But say unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, say unto them, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But esteem, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with Yahweh. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So there finishes that reading of Romans. Let's flip over then in the scriptures to 2 Timothy 2:22. That's 2 Timothy. Flee also... Flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid these foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of Yahweh must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt or able to teach, and patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if perhaps or peradventure Yahweh will give them repentance in the acknowledging of the truth. That was 2 Timothy 2:25. Repentance towards Yahweh. Repentance allows us to see our errors and acknowledge the truth. It's a change of mind from the carnal mind to the spirit-controlled mind of Yahweh. Repentance is a turning to Yahweh and doing works fit for repentance. And something, repentance is something you come to, not something you go out and get. Yahweh-like sorrow leads to repentance and salvation, not to be revoked, but worldly sorrow leads to death. And we'll read that scripture pertaining to that here in a little while. So we're going back to Acts chapter 26:19 now. Paul speaking, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but that he was telling Agrippa about, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should, or the nations, that they should repent and turn to Yahweh and do works meet for repentance. Then back to chapter 20. Let's go here back to Acts 20. Maasa 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward our master Yahusha. Faith toward our master Yahusha, the Messiah. So he held back nothing that was profitable. He didn't make any new doctrine that the seventh day of the week was changed to the first day of the week. He didn't teach that the resurrection was on a particular day of the week. He did teach, I think, we could find in Scripture that Messiah died on the 14th and rose on the 17th, and that would be in the book of Matthew, Matthew 12:40, talking about 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth, and then Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene to the tomb, and the other Mary. So Paul testified to the Jews and to the Greeks, or nations, repentance toward Yahweh and faith toward the Messiah. and that we are to do works meet for repentance. So we gladly, we earnestly desire to please Yahweh. Let's look at Peter 3:9. Let's see, where is that now? 2 Peter 3:9 it should be. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we talked about that sorrow, that Yahweh-like sorrow. So back here in Corinthians chapter 2, Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a goodly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For a goodly sorrow, or Yahweh-like sorrow, works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. And then there's a comment that repentance is turning from dead works, and that'll be here in Hebrews 6 mainly, also Hebrews 9. And repentance leads to a purging of the conscience from dead works. It is a permanent thing, as we actually shall read that, about that our repentance is permanent. A place of repentance is found, and a way to change our mind is found by seeking Yahweh, by seeking the heart of Yahweh. So there it is in Hebrews 6:11 now, if you are ready. And it says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." To Hebrews 6, I apologize. Hebrews 6:1, we didn't read that. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward Yahweh." So we lay that foundation, and it doesn't mean it's a one-time fix. Of course, we repent daily. And repentance leads us to a purging of the conscience from dead works. Then in chapter 9, here we go finally, so we can turn ahead now. "For if the blood of bulls and goats," if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, back in the Old Testament, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, the Messiah offered himself without spot, that when he died on the tree at Calvary, may he, how much more shall he purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? And verse 15, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament," that is the certificate of indebtedness that was against us, the writing of ordinances, the death penalty that was against us for our transgressions. So that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I'll read that again without comment. "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament," that is Messiah, "that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Yes, it is internal as well, isn't it? So for that proof of why repentance is permanent, back to Romans 11:29 now. "And for the gifts and calling of Yahweh are without repentance." Then back to Hebrews 6:11. He says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." And this is a place where our mind is changed. And we don't become robots, but we desire to please him. We desire to go to Yahweh's feast days and to praise him there. We're going to desire to go up. In fact, during the millennium, as it says there in Zechariah 14, we'll go up from year to year to worship the King of Kings. And it's just something that is in our heart. We are after the heart of Yahweh to please Him. Hebrews 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was apparently lost forever. Repentance is a gift that enables us to acknowledge the truth. To acknowledge the truth. And what is the truth? As we read Yahweh's word, yes, we submit to the authority of Yahweh's word, where it tells us, for example, in the book of Psalms, that His commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes, that His judgments are true and righteous altogether, that His statutes are right, and you know that's His statutes are right, and His judgments are true and righteous altogether. And then near the end of the podcast, we will actually show what it looks like to be walking with Yahweh and to have our hearts united with Him. What will we actually do during that time here in the present and also in the future? So 2 Timothy 2:26, we will repeat some of these scriptures, but it says in 2 Timothy, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him at His will." So praise Yahweh. It's encouraging to read scriptures that even though a greater portion of scripture would appear to be, we're going to 1 Samuel 4:6, but it would appear that a lot of scriptures are, you know, to our spirits, it just seems like, oh, it's so negative. You know, why do we read these things? Like in the book of Habakkuk, for example, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw, or the prophecy which he saw, "How long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save?" And then, because of disobedience, Yahweh said in verse 6, "I will raise up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They're terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." And it's refreshing to read these judgments of Yahweh. It's just like drinking fresh, pure water, drinking from the fountain of Yahweh. So I did say 1 Samuel, didn't I? So we'll talk about what happened there with the Philistines and about our nation of Israel. In 1 Samuel 4, verse 6. Yes, and then also chapter 15 in Samuel. Okay. 4, verse 6. "When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What means the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of Yahweh was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'Yahweh is come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing before or heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty Elohim?'" was the Philistines' comment. These are the Elohim that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. They remembered that time of that Passover with Moshe, when the seven plagues were administered by the death angel. "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of Yahweh was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain, the rebellious sons of Eli. That they wouldn't even do one tiny little request. So in 1 Corinthians now, let's turn back over And there are a lot of scriptures here. I just enjoy hearing these. And I used to worry, even unto just the other day, I used to worry, well, maybe I'm just giving too many of those condemning scriptures, you know, too much judgment. Maybe we should get into that and balance it out a little bit with more mercy from Yahweh. And that's, we can do that at times, but why not? You know, just read the word. It's Yahweh's word is pure. It's truth. It's life-giving. And so why should I choose and try to divide and dissect the word of Yahweh and say, well, this part seems too mean and this part is more loving? And you know, I don't have to do that. I just love the word of Yahweh, don't you? Especially on a day like today. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch you stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And that's quite similar there in the Tree of Life version, so I won't pick that out. But so what do we do? What does it look like to be in Yahweh's kingdom? What does he ask us to do? Is it sacrifice? Is it some burdensome thing? For, you know, it says in 1 John 5:2-3, that this is love, keeping the commandments of Yahweh, and this is not burdensome or grievous. No, it's, you know, regardless of, in Romans, the book of Romans, we hear this quite often here. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living offering, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. But it shouldn't feel like a sacrifice. Maybe I gave up something. Maybe I lost a job when I made this decision for Yahweh. But I shouldn't really think of it or call it a sacrifice. The way I'm thinking is, it's just a gift of love. He gave me the gift of mercy and repentance and eternal life. He gave me the, you know, he cleaned my slate. The old account was settled long ago. My old account, the certificate of indebtedness that was against me. Some of those death penalties of the Old Testament, I imagine I would have been subject to quite a few beatings and stonings, and and I wouldn't have been around for the second one, of course, after I were stoned to death. But so much judgment would have come down if it wouldn't have been for the Messiah. You know, I could never fully repent of all those sins and those, you know, what we call little bitty sins. And you know, I wouldn't have had enough peace offerings and animals in the Old Testament to have brought to Messiah. Because when I did, when I offered up, when I would have offered up a lamb or a dove, and then turned around and left Jerusalem after the feast, I'd probably start sinning again. So what would I do? I have to turn around and find another pure animal, a pure lamb to bring back and be sacrificed again. I'd never be able to leave because I was always sinning and doing sacrifices. I don't know if I ran that by too fast or too confusing, but anyway, what it looks like is we stand fast in the faith, we repent, we're strong in Yahweh, that is spiritually strong, and we keep his feast days. It says in Leviticus 23:2, and it's Yahweh speaking. It says their Lord, but actually if you look at the text in Hebrew and the concordance, that word is Yahweh. So speak unto the children of Israel in Leviticus or Vayikra 23:2. Speak to the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feasts. And verse 5, here we come to an adjacent, an immediate feast coming up here for some of you. I know there's all kinds of calendars, but generally we're all going to keep the feast within a month of one another. It doesn't sound like a lot of unity, but anyway, if people kept it according to the equinox method, then we would be on the same page and at the same dates. But we're not yet. Not everybody believes that, so they're going by the barley. Leviticus 23:5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. So it's very paramount that we keep Yahweh's Passover. Paul says, let us therefore, and this is 1 Corinthians 5 as I bounce up there, but 1 Corinthians 5:7, let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of spirit of sincerity and truth. And it's by the mercies of Yahweh that we are presenting our bodies before Him as sort of a living sacrifice, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And so let's go to something else here in Numbers 23. Again, on this theme of repentance, I really want to get into this deeper for you. I hope you appreciate it. You know, we go way over 15 minutes in these podcasts. I thought, can I just keep it to 15 or 20 minutes? But no, I can't. There's just a lot of information here. Numbers 23:19. Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And then I've gotten these all written down here, so you don't have to turn to them if you don't like. They're just quick verses to point out to you. 1 Samuel 15 said, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. That's 1 Samuel 15:29. I think I said a different reference there. 1 Samuel 15:29. And then the book of Psalms, Tehillim 110, Psalm 110, verse 4. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Also Hebrews 7:21, speaking of our heavenly high priest, Yahusha. Then in Jeremiah, I read this here in these quick notes. Fruits worthy of repentance, Jeremiah 4:28. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens shall be black. The heavens shall be black because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Even that seems to be, you know, so judgmental, condemning, but it is so refreshing to read the Word, to hear the Word. And, you know, whether the world wants to, and some of the people that are kind of worldly, yet they want to say that that's negative or that's positive, but that's Yahweh's Word. That's all it is, you know. It's just His Word, and He tells us how we may approach Him in purity, being in the righteousness of Messiah, putting on that garment of righteousness. Put on the garment of righteousness for the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise in the presence of Yahweh in His throne room. So we're about 40 minutes into the podcast, but let's go to Exodus quickly. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people, Moses said. Or Deuteronomy 32, for Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. Also Psalm 135:14, so Yahweh will judge his people and change his mind for his servants. Psalm 90, return, O Yahweh, how long, and let it repent thee concerning your servants. That's 90, verse 13. Back to Jeremiah, a reading here from Jeremiah 18:8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. If I do evil in my sight, or excuse me, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I'll repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. If that nation does evil in Yahweh's sight, that it doesn't obey his voice, he'll repent of the good. He'll change his mind about what they did that was anything good, keeping the doing good works, keeping the law. Wherefore, I said I would benefit them, but then he had to change his mind because they changed theirs and didn't think that it would be worth being faithful to Yahweh and recognizing him as for his sovereignty, for his word is so pure. Jeremiah 26, then, in chapter 26, over here, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. 13, therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, and Yahweh will repent him of the evil that he had pronounced against you. And I think it probably echoes in some of these other verses, Ezekiel and Joel. Ezekiel 24:14, that you can trust Yahweh and take him at his word. I, Yahweh, have spoken it, it shall come to pass, and I'll do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith Yahweh. In Joel chapter 2, rent your heart and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Elohim, for he is merciful, and I'll just say gracious here, for he is with mercy and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he will turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him? And then Jonah, chapter 3, verse 9, who can tell if Yahweh will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? So that's under the heading, Fruits Worthy of Repentance, and Bible Studies from Giving and Sharing, and that's study number 56, Fruits Worthy of Repentance. I, Stefan Yahb, and using the King James Version, and correcting and changing or transposing some of the 30 corrupted words, only 30 out of 10,000, millions of words. There's only 30 or 40 that we need to worry about that I have counted. So don't just go by our studies. We have to continue to pursue to bring about purity in our study, in our studies, in our habits, in our attitudes. Job 42, in Job 42, verse 6, and I quote, Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And we are commanded to repent in Matthew and Mark, Matthew 3, Matthew, verse 3, Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. And we read the John the Baptist saying here, Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He will thoroughly burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He said to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. The axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That Yahweh's day of judgment is at hand. It is very soon. It's around the corner. It's really close. And that is why we need to be ready. Messiah preached the same message of repentance as John the Baptist. In his words, Matthew 4:17, Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Mark 1:15, The disciples were sent out two by two, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Chapter 6, verse 12, and it says, On Pentecost, when Peter preached to those who had crucified Messiah, many were pricked in their hearts and asked what they should do. Peter answered, Acts 2:37. Peter answered, Repent and be baptized. And then repentance is something done. There must be tangible evidence of the change in mental process. Peter told Simon the magician to repent of his wicked thoughts in Acts 8:22. Shaul preached that Yahweh commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. And men are accountable for their actions. That's why we're all commanded to repent. That R word you don't hear too often in today's megachurch. And we are in need of the preaching of the word, just like it was, not just like it was 60 years ago, but similar, but better than you used to hear the old fiery preachers, which they condemn as hell and fire and brimstone damnation. No, they were quoting from the word of Yahweh. They were not judging anyone, but the word of Yahweh was judging them. In Revelation chapter 2 now, five of the seven churches were told to repent. Ephesus, repent and do the first works. Revelation chapter 2. And then in Revelation 2:16, the assembly of Pergamos, repent for the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, or else I will come unto you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The assembly of Thyatira, in 2:22, I will cast her, or Jezebel, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And that to it would be spiritual adultery. Revelation chapter 3, to the assembly of Sardis, remember therefore how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and the R word, repent. The assembly of Laodicea, in verse 19, 3:19 of Revelation of John, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. It would behoove us to know just what repentance is and what the fruits of repentance are. In Hebrews, we read about Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. He found no place of repentance. In Jeremiah 8, that no man repented him of his wickedness. In Matthew, not Jeremiah, but a certain character. In Matthew 11:20, Messiah is speaking. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. And here in America, and on the worst coast of America, and the worst coast, they probably don't preach about repentance. And, you know, I could get in trouble for doing this. And that's, we're doing Yahweh's word willingly, and out of a desire for Yahweh's blessing on his children. You have the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21, in chapter Matthew 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, but he went and hung himself. In 2 Corinthians 12:21, and it is written, I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. And then we referred to Revelation 2:21 about Jezebel, that Yahweh gave Jezebel space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. And then in Revelation 9, a sad commentary of willful sinners who will not repent. 9 verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, nor that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries, of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So there you have that study there. Is it a sacrifice to keep Yahweh's feast days and to obey his Ten Commandments? Or is it love in response to his bidding and call? If we were to go back to Habakkuk or some of these other, like Ezekiel, some of these great judgment coming down upon those rebellious people, would we cringe and cower down and say, oh, that's terrible, read something nice and positive? Or would we love his word and just keep reading every day? You know, whatever method you use for reading, whether you use the assigned readings or you do like I do, use topical readings that are set to a certain time of year that are applicable to our lives, and make the application to find the scripture that goes with what's going on at the particular time and what's going on in your life. Do we go to the book of the Revelation and get shocked about it all and upset and say, oh, you can't forbid people to do these sins, oh my goodness, everybody does it, you know, what's he going to do, keep us all out of heaven or something? No, he's not going to come down to our level, I can tell you that. He's not going to come down, but we have to be counted according to the Father's righteousness through his Son that gave the offering of the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Oh, what an incredible thing to think about creation as it is, and we do that during the feast days as well. We concentrate on some of the wonderful things and places, and you know, out in the forest that Yahweh has created, waterfalls and all those beautiful creations. So to finish up, I guess we have to finish up on the upbeat. Is that right? Well, no, we don't have to, but I will. Yeah, I want you to be encouraged today, and if not, why? You know, well, you know, maybe you're down in the spirit, but may Yahweh pick you up and you know, pick you up out of that slimy spirit there, and walk with Him and have a little lilt in your spirit from now on. Keep the feast days and get closer to Yahweh by studying and fellowshipping and resting during the feast days, namely Passover, Shavuot, or First Fruits, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, Feast of Sukkot, for 8 days in the late summer. Looks like it's going to be for some late in September, and for others late in October, depending on their two different calendars, and the rest are very close, within a day or two of each other. So Revelation 22, as I, Stephan Yah, finish up the podcast about sacrifice or loving Yahweh, sacrifice or love. So we read here in verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that is athirst, let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the pure city. And from the things which are written in this book, he which testifies these things says, "Surely I come quickly." The adverb "quickly" there could indicate that it could be at any moment. "Surely I come quickly. Hallel. Even so, come, Master Yahusha. The unmerited favor of the Master Yahusha be with you all." Come back again to this website, yahweh.name. Send us an email. Thank you very much. May Yahweh prosper and spiritually and bless you and give you the water of life, and make sure that your name is in the book of life. Drink freely from Yahweh's bottomless well, Yahusha's name. Praise Yahweh.